Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 and Joe at RTE.ie. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Margaret, you were listening to yesterday's programme and raised by the horrific case of the rape victim after her abusers were convicted to 7 years in prison. While still in the courtroom, she was verbally abused by other people and threatened. What was your reaction when you heard that story, Margaret?
I was horrified that someone would do that to someone that had already been abused and been raped, and particularly the fact that the abusers were found guilty.
Yeah.
That they'd further abuse her.
Now, everyone is horrified by it, but your own awful experience accentuates it because you were abused by a relative.
I was, Joe, mm-hmm. Yes.
And there was a court case.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in that case that reminded you of what this woman had to go through?
Well, in my situation, I was abused, as you said, by a relative. Mm. And my case went to the High Court, and the person that had abused me, he didn't have legal representation at the time, mm-hmm. and he was in a position to cross-examine me, and in so doing, abused me in the High Court, verbally abused me during the cross-examination.
And what he called you, can you give us an, I don't want the exact words, obviously, but was it in his questions that he?
It was in his line of questioning.
Yeah.
Confrontational names. I won't use some of them on the radio given the time of the day, but I'd say that the least offensive would have been Missy. They got worse than that, and the judge that was hearing the case asked him to stop. He didn't stop, he continued. And he was asked then to desist, which he didn't do. He further continued, and he was told at that stage that he'd be removed from the court if he didn't stop.
And did it, when you say the judge intervened?
Yes, during the line of questioning.
But from what you're saying, the line of questioning included name calling.
Yes, it wasn't. It was more name calling than questioning. Name calling and accusing me of what I had done rather than what he was there for. And it went on, Joe, for about 45 minutes.
And did you object?
I didn't open my mouth.
Did your legal team object?
No. They left it to the judge.
Yeah, and the judge did intervene?
He did, yeah, on three occasions.
And did he offer you any consolation, the judge?
Not verbally, but with his eyes. Hmm. And I could also see that he was telling me silently that I was doing the right thing and not reacting to what this person was saying to me.
And that relative, was it a criminal case or a civil case?
This was a civil case. There was a criminal case pending at the time.
And has that run its course?
Well, what happened was, if I go back to the civil case, Joseph, lunchtime came and I had to get back up in the afternoon for more of the same. And then I was told I could sit down, and my husband had to get up, and he had the same barrage. Mm-hmm. And then there was confusion because some of the abuse had taken place at another location, which would have been my family home as a child.
Right.
And he asked my husband then where was he when he should have been in the family home protecting me. And that's where the confusion arose. And at that stage, the judge told my husband he could sit down. Mm. And then he did a summing up and said he would return in 3 weeks with a reserve judgment. And when we did return in the 3 weeks, there was a call over in the criminal case, and that's where my relative was at that stage, at the call over.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had informed my legal team that that's where he was, and when they informed the judge, he said he would come back in a week, and regardless of whether that person was there or not, he would make his judgment. So he was there on that occasion, and the judgment was made that he had believed what I'd said, and there was an award made, quite a substantial reward, which, of course, I never did see. Now, with regard to the criminal case, this was 2007. The criminal case went on and on and on until 2009. mm-hmm. where I'd made my initial statement in 2004. And in 2009, the 18th of August 2009, I just got a call from the guards to say that it wasn't going ahead because this person had instigated a judicial review. Now, I was in court for the judicial review, and the reasons that the criminal case didn't go ahead was because of the loss, which was the death of two witnesses. He said he was suffering ill health, both physically and mentally, which wasn't actually the case, and then also the guard delay in investigating the case.
So you never had your day in a criminal court?
No. But I did have my day in the civil courts, and I was encouraged then by my own legal team that is in the statute books and there it will remain.
But you say you won the case, obviously, mm-hmm. and you, I think you said you got a substantial award, but mm-hmm. you never received a penny?
No.
Why not?
Because when he got wind of the word that I might be doing something about what had happened to me, he transferred his home into his sister's name.
Wow.
Which made him appear to be penniless. Yet he continued to live in that home, even after her death.
And
she had willed that to somebody else in the family, and that other person had left the home and he continued to live there.
Yeah. And does he live there still?
No, he died, Joe, 2 years ago in a nursing home.
What was that like for you?
It was strange. When he was ill, it was kind of surreal. When he died, in the beginning I felt nothing, and then I felt a relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew I had to see him dead before I could actually believe he was dead and gone from my life forever.
You mean see him in an open coffin, or see him being lowered into
an open coffin dead?
Yeah.
And where he was in a funeral home, no one, if you like, was allowed to see him there. It was just private.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there for almost a week because, you know, he was going to be cremated and they had to wait for a slot, if you like, in the crematorium. But I did find a way to get into the funeral home to see him twice. Once was to talk to him and say everything that I couldn't say to him. The second time was just more peaceful and just to say, you know, goodbye and good luck. But it wasn't anger, it was just to say what any adult would say to a man that had abused a child the first time.
And were you alone with the remains?
No, my husband came with me.
Okay.
And there was nobody from the funeral home in the room with us, just the two of us. We were allowed our privacy.
And what was that like, talking to her?
I thought I'd be very angry.
Mm-hmm. And were you?
In the beginning, going in, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, I'm going to the other. But when I did get there, I was calm and I was collected and I just looked at him. And I said really what the adults that were around at the time, and I don't like using the word should, but the adults should have said to him,
mm-hmm.
they were aware of what was going on when I look back on it.
Yeah.
And I did say to him what the adult should have said to him at the time. And in honesty, he got a few thumps from me.
Mm.
I mean, I couldn't hurt him because he was dead.
Mm.
But I got out my hurt in that way.
Yeah.
There was a book of condolence, and I wrote down a few lines in the book that he's gone, but he'll not be forgotten for the hurt and the damage he caused in this world.
You wrote that.
So nobody could tear the page out.
Yeah.
It was written into that. And I felt good. No, I felt exhausted when I came out.
Yeah.
I think I was there for about a half an hour. I felt exhausted when I came out. And I did say to my husband, I will have to go back again. And then when I went back, I just said, you know, you've the face only a mother could love. And how she loved you, I don't know, because she knew what you were like. Every mother knows her son.
Mm.
But wherever you're going now, good luck to you. Because you can't cause any more harm. And then the following week, I did go to his funeral.
Yeah.
There was only a handful of people at it, but I did go to it because if I didn't go, I couldn't ever go again.
Mm.
So I did go to his funeral, and at that, I have to say, I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I just felt nothing, but I just had to know that he was literally gone from this world.
And your relatives?
Mm-hmm.
Did they see you at the funeral?
They did. And one lad came up and he said to me, "Well, Margaret," he said, "now it's all over. You can get on with your life." And I just looked at him and I said, "It will never be all over for me."
Yeah.
I mean, from the age of 9 or 10 up to 17 and afterwards, that was with me, and it was only one trauma unlocked it for me at the age of 37.
Yeah.
And it was present then throughout my own son's formative years. Mm-hmm. And possibly until he died. It's really my grandchildren will know nothing about it.
Yeah. But that image, Margaret, of you standing with your husband, the two of you with the remains.
Mm-hmm.
How did you suppress your anger? I know from your initial contact, he abused you, physically abused you, and sexually abused you for 8 years, though it's ongoing, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, long time, from 9 to 17. Did your husband have to say, "Margaret, sit down, don't stand at the coffin, don't look at it"? Was there any...
Oh, yes, he said, don't do that. The cameras are probably watching you. And I said, "It's okay." I said, "I'm not stealing anything from him." I said, "He has no wings, he has no chains."
Yeah.
"That's why the cameras are there." And I said, "I can't hurt him."
And this is when you were...
Yeah. I said, "I can't hurt him. I'm not stealing anything from this room."
Mm.
I said, "Some people bend down and they're kissing and they're hugging and they're pulling at a body of a loved one." But I said, "I'm doing just something the opposite. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm actually not going to cause him any damage."
Yeah. And was that to the face, Margaret, or the body, or just...
I slapped him on the face and then the rest of it was around his torso.
Yeah. Now, you're now involved as a volunteer with an organisation who helps survivors of rape and sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
No burden should be placed on your shoulder, but insofar as there's any solace for that rape victim who went through a court case, mm-hmm. saw her two assailants sent to prison for 7 years, and then before she left the court, the judge had left the court apparently, but we're unaware if the Gardaí had left the court,
mm-hmm.
but before she left the court, was basically threatened
mm-hmm.
By some individuals in the court who were not the two assailants, we're told.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apart from living in fear, how does that woman deal with a threat like that?
There is an old saying, Joe, you get your day in court.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go home, it's over. You're waking up the next day and it's over. There's nothing, there's nowhere. You can't make a phone call or ask a question. Do you remember what was said yesterday, or do you know about this? Your day in court is just that.
Yeah,
it's over. And no matter what someone says, or do you know, like that judge, even on the day I was in court, there were no guards called to arrest him for what he was saying or doing to me, or the name calling. It's just a totally separate issue, and I'm sure that girl is in fear of her life. But by what those people were doing, they were showing the support for those that have done wrong. Guilt.
Yeah. And it's happened before in Irish courtrooms, mm-hmm. most notoriously in Kerry a few years ago.
Yeah. It's the protection of the guilty. Because really, you know, there were two people there and one person is telling the truth and one person is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that girl is telling the truth.
Yeah. Your relatives, after that remark at the funeral, I know he died 2 years ago, as you say, but has that been reconciled, or does it need to be reconciled?
No, the family's fragmented and was from the beginning. When I spoke out, I was accused of breaking a family up and tearing a family apart, a close family, a lovely man that was kind to everyone and wouldn't do anything like that.
Oh, God.
And maybe of losing my head over the previous trauma, which was the death of my mother, that I couldn't cope with. Was I bringing this up? And was I attention-seeking? All the usual things.
Yeah, yeah,
none of which were true.
Of course. After, okay, there's a civil case. He never went to prison. But did you see him subsequently?
Oh, yeah.
And would he...
He would go with my husband a lot before the case and afterwards, that he was a lucky man that he got me because I'd been taught everything.
Oh, my God.
The same to me.
Oh, my God.
I was told that I'd learned a lot from him, and also who was I trying to charm by the story I was telling.
Good God.
And my sons were told, too, that he was my teacher. So eventually we moved away from the area. It was the only way to get on with our lives.
Yeah.
And it was a good move.
Yeah. Courageous move.
Yeah, it was a good move. Because I would look and I'd say, well, do you know, really, I have my husband, I have my kids, I have my friends who did and are my family now. And like, really, he's going home to nobody in the evenings.
Yeah. Did he to the empty house?
The empty house that he pretended
he'd given to someone else.
Mm-hmm. He was on his own. He'd no one to talk to, no one to cuddle up to at night. He'd nothing at the end of every evening. He'd nothing but his dog.
Yeah. Margaret, thanks indeed. That's let's hope. That's the only thing I can say after listening to your incredible story. Let's hope that woman, who was the rape victim, who saw two men go to prison for the attack on her and then had to endure verbal abuse in the courtroom. Let's hope she is surrounded by people like you and people like you were surrounded by in terms of your husband and children and friends, as you say.
She will, Joe, because she has survived this and she survived that day as well.
Good point.
She will, Joe.
Well made.
And the best of luck to her.
Yeah. And Margaret, the best of luck to you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Joe.
And kind regards to you and your husband and children. Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.